Welcome to Bigger Than the Game with Deremy and Jose. I'm Deremy Dove, and I'm joined by my co-host, my tag team partner, the one and only Jose Ruiz. What's going on, man?
What's going on, Deremy? How you doing, my brother?
Doing good, man. I'm doing good. And, you know, on September 7th, it'll be an anniversary that I feel like people will be talking about. But
oh, yeah.
We're definitely talking about it because one of the more impactful artists of all time, Mr. Tupac Shakur, that's the night. It'd be 25 years since that fateful night in Vegas that he was gunned down.
25 years already, man.
25 that, years.
That went by quick. And, you know, we were talking about this earlier in the week, and we haven't done, like, pop culture stuff in a little bit. And, you know, I just figured this would be a really good opportunity to kind of get back to that a little bit. And there's no other, I don't think another person that we can have picked to be like another, like a start again for that. So
for sure.
So this is going to be a good one, man. Again, this is just based off of just how we're feeling about it and where we were at and music. This is something we both love. So go ahead, Vince, drop that.
So Jose, you know what has gotten me with thinking about, cause he's someone who's on everyone's mind.
Yeah.
All the time. And I think it's crazy that you look at it. September 7th, 96 is when he was shot. He dies 6 days later on the 13th. But this is 25th anniversary, and that means that he's been dead for as long as he's been alive.
Yeah.
He was 25 when he died, and it's been the 25th anniversary of his death. And I think that's just something else, that the impact that he made, all the things that he did music-wise, you know, socially, everything, and he was 25.
I know, that's amazing. Like, cause I feel like he was way, way older than you know, obviously his age. But it's like the stuff he was seeing, the stuff he was talking about, man, it was just, he was looking into the future, you know, and he was looking at like times like today, you know, and all this stuff with George Floyd and all these deaths and all that stuff. He was talking about that in 96, you know, 94, 93. Like, so it's just his vision. It just blows my mind. And the stuff he was talking about and, you know, in his songs, in his interviews, it was just legendary stuff, man. And there's a lot of great artists, and we can talk about top five rappers, this, top five, that, but there's like great artists, and then there's just like musicians, like, you know what I'm saying, or like just iconic legendary figures in history of our society. And I just feel like he's in that conversation.
Well, he's that unicorn.
Yeah.
Well, there's other great rappers, there's other great entertainers, but you're not going to have someone who's going to be like Tupac, like, and there's no point in someone trying to be.
No,
because just his style, like, you know, when you hear that voice. And that's when you know a great artist, when you can just hear that voice and you're not like, who, you know who that is. And he has that, he had that charisma.
Yeah, he did.
And, you know, you see it in the movies from Juicy to Above the Rim, you know, Poetic Justice. He had that charisma and that talent, and it showed in everything he did. Even his, you know, I'm a TV nut too, and his guest appearance on A Different World with Jada Pinkett Smith and everything, and just that swag he brought to it. That charisma, he's one of those, and he wasn't a physically big guy, but you know, like when he walked on screen, when he walked on stage, when he walked in a room, everyone looked at him. All eyes went to Tupac.
Yeah, literally all eyes on me. And, you know, you talked about Juice, and that was, for me, I was really young watching that, and just his character in Bishop, it did something to me when I was young, man. It was just, I don't want to say I was trying to be like that, but it was a lot of people in my neighborhood who were, and it was just such an iconic, powerful movie for my generation at that time, because it was exactly what a lot of us were living. It was just a young crew running around the street, like neighborhoods, having fun, and, you know, guys doing this, guys doing that, guys eventually having, you know, children, and it just spoke to a whole, like, whole generation at that point, man. And it was just like the music behind it, the soundtrack of that movie was amazing. And then his character just kind of like blew him up. And not that he's like musically, lyrically, he was really great at that time, obviously, but that, for me, that put him on my map, you know. And I just, that movie is one of my favorite movies of all time. And You know, I'm glad you brought the movie thing up, because I was more thinking just like the artist, like, you know, the music artist. But the movies, man, the movies he made were very impactful for me too. And then again, just watching him there and then gravitating to his music later on, man, it's again legendary for me.
Well, because I think, you know, we saw it, you know, LL Cool J did it, and I think Tupac would have really, he's someone I think would have won, he could have won an Oscar. He had that kind of talent. And, you know, he's someone who did, you know, he went to a high school in Baltimore of performance art. Like, he had that talent and he had that range.
With Jada Pinkett Smith.
Yeah. And that's where that friendship, you know, started. And I think it's just important to, you know, I get conflicted when I think about Tupac, talk about Tupac, because there's so many things. There's, like you said, he was talking about issues like from Brenda's Got a Baby, when you listen to Changes, Until the End of Time. So many different songs that really are like, wow, like he's talking about what's going on in a way that you weren't hearing. And then there's the other side, there's the dark side. There's the guy who was trying to seem like trying to be Bishop.
Oh, yeah.
And I tell people, like, you know, from where we met at, where we used to both work at, talking to different younger people and telling them, like, who looked up to Tupac. And it's like, I think the story gets told wrong, or the focus of the story is wrong.
Exactly.
Where people look at, you know, and don't get me wrong, it's all fascinating, you know, who killed Tupac, who killed Biggie, and there's a million documentaries on it, and I totally get that, and I get the fascination with it, and talking about this song and that song, totally get it. But to me, the biggest thing is, this didn't have to happen.
No.
And that's the thing that we miss, is like, Tupac did not get a chance to live and see a lot of the foundation that he built, in the way that hip-hop is such a big billion-dollar, it's like the genre in music.
Yeah.
Tupac's a big reason why. The East Coast-West Coast rivalry, it's an iconic moment in 90s pop culture. You talk about the 90s, you think about what happened with Pac and Big in East and West Coast.
Yep.
And he didn't get a chance to live to see that. Tupac died a thousandaire.
Yeah.
You know? And that's the thing. A lot of times it's like people don't realize that he was being something that he wasn't. And to me, that's what I think got him, you know, at the end. He was trying to be Thug Life. And that's not who Tupac was raised on, who he was brought up as. That's what he was trying to become. And that, to me, is the thing that, the message that we don't talk about.
Yeah.
Is that so many people are trying to be something that they're not. And it winds up, a lot of people are losing loved ones because of it, still to this day. And Tupac, the impact, like you mentioned, with George Floyd and so many other things, you would love to have heard his voice.
Oh my God, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and it was just, and you're exactly right, like the stuff he was like affiliated with, and, you know, now we're talking about Death Row and that label and what they were affiliated with, which, you know, Suge Knight and Snoop and Dre and all those, just all those, another more iconic artists, but all that stuff they were doing in the background, like gang affiliated and all that stuff, like he got involved in that. And it is that's a tough place to be, you know, because not only now, you know, you gotta like constantly show that, like, you gotta live that stuff, right? You gotta put that out there. You gotta put that out there in movies and in music. But now you gotta live it every day now to keep that like aura and that whatever else you want to call it, you know. And he was trying to do that, and that's what God eventually got him caught up.
Yeah.
You know? And again, the streets are not for everybody. And not to say he was like living in the suburbs, and he that's not the case for sure, you know, but, you know, he started to live that stuff. You know what I mean? And that's just, it's a scary spot.
And to me, that's what it was. He there's people who were born into it. Tupac wasn't that. And to me, it's something that you see, he went to Baltimore School for the Arts. And when you watch clips of Tupac, yeah, there's a lot of footage out there of him back in the late 80s. And with that, you know, kind of odd fade and him talking.
Like,
and
that,
yeah, that's not who he was.
Yeah.
But that's who he was trying to kind of become. And especially after that shooting in 94, even what happened with that, you know, the fact that he tried to kind of, he was getting like, you know, screwed over in a deal, but over $7,000, he gets shot 5 times and his life goes pretty much from there. It's going downhill after that. It was kind of starting to, he was on trial, but after that, it really, because then you have a mix of the paranoia intensifies, but then that invincibility, because he was shot 5 times.
Yeah.
And that's when so many things happen, you know, when he winds up being in jail and Suge Knight comes to save the day. And then he's just really trying to, like, you know, everything just kind of spirals for him.
Yeah. And again, that's, you know, you talked about that. He comes out of jail, he signs with Death Row, and, you know, his career takes off. You know, and he definitely had hits before that. You know what I'm saying? You talked about Brendan Got a Baby. You know, he definitely had Keep Your Head Up. He had hits before
Round
that.
And Round.
Yeah. Oh, I love the Round and Round. But, you know, once he gets with Dre, the Dr. Dre, and those beats come in, and then he's killing them on all, like, man, like, his career just took off. And then, you know, All Eyes on Me drops. Double CD,
yeah,
you know, and there's mega hits on that album, you know, and definitely, like, you know, lyrically and all that stuff. Like, I can probably point to like 10 rappers who I think are better, but just what he was saying, I there's not too many people I can put over him.
Well,
man.
And that's the thing, you know, we talk about it when we talk about sports. There's so many things where there's just straight up who was better, which team or which player was better. And sometimes, you know, I look at Tupac and Biggie, I think as an MC, I'd probably lean to Biggie.
I would, yeah.
You know, but when you look at the impact, what he was saying, the charisma, the way people flocked to him and followed him, that's something that very few ever in that industry have ever had before or since. You know, I remember talking about Vince Carter and the impact that he did with, like, Toronto. And don't get me wrong, Tim Duncan is a greater player than Vince Carter.
Yeah.
But Tim Duncan's not making a whole country follow a sport.
Yeah.
The way Vince Carter did with his excitement and that charisma. And that, to me, is like your point. Like, I can name other MCs who I think around that era, before or after, who I like as an MC. But the impact that Tupac made, I don't think there's been a greater MC with that impact than him.
Yeah, so let's, you know, let's talk about that then. So he signs with Death Row, and at this point, West Coast is killing it in the game. You know, I can remember being, I don't know how old I was, when The Chronic dropped, you know, and I think my brother got it for me. Like, it was just, I was too young to listen to it, but who cares? Like, yeah. I was banging that. And, you know, then Snoop, his album.
That's where I got into it. That's the first I heard.
His first album, was it Dog World or Doggy Style? Doggy Style. That came out. One of the best albums of all time, you know. So they were the West Coast was killing the East Coast. I mean, not to like compare the two, but just let's just do that. And, you know, they were killing the game, period. Music, period. You know, and then you talked about, yeah, Biggie coming in, and yeah, Wu-Tang coming in and kind of like really got
Nas as well.
Yeah, got Wu-Tang really kind of started it though. Wu-Tang came out, and, you know, at that point it was like I can't remember, it was The Box or something like that, like the channel where you could request the music. And, you know, I just remember watching all that Wu-Tang stuff, and, you know, then you got Biggie, and then you got Nas, and then you got Jay-Z, and then, like, you know, then you got Tupac coming, and then it was just really easy for the media and all that to kind of set that like war or rivalry up, whatever you want to call it, like, and they did, you know, and they were selling magazines, they were selling records based off of that, and he was eating that up, Tupac, that's what I'm talking about, and, you know, and I'm looking at him. We talked about, you know, in that same episode with Vince Carter, we talked about Allen Iverson, mm-hmm. and what he did to the culture of, again, our culture again, and the culture of the NBA. I feel like Pac did the same thing. Like, I wasn't seeing too many guys tatted up, you know, in the game. Like, you know, I've seen, like, the bald heads and stuff like that, but he was just the total package. You talked about charisma and all that. Like, lyrically, he was good. You know, his music was great. You know, he had the beats now backing him up on it. And now he's also, you know, stage presence, like, just everything, like how he looked. He just played the perfect part, man. Like, it was just, he was, you know, as an artist, he was just the total package of everything. You have some artists who can write some songs. You have some artists who can do a lot of other stuff, but not all of them can do it all, you know. And I felt like he was one of the rare ones who was able to do it all. And then you talked about movies, and he added that to his repertoire, and it was just something amazing to see. And that's why a lot of people had so much love for him, because it was, you know, not only can he do all of that, but just the stuff he was saying was impacting people in the community and impacting people in like the inner cities. And it was, he was speaking to us, you know. And for me, I know for me, like, I was all over it, man. And I know guys that were bigger fans than Tupac than I was. But it was just the stuff that he would say, man. Like, it was just like, I felt that, man. And it was like one of those, he was one of those guys where you drive and his song comes on, you drive a little faster, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, or like you're just walking down the street and you just feel a little better. You got a more of a bounce in your step. Not a lot of people do that for me, man. And he was definitely one of them.
No, and it's the funny part is, like you said, that impact. It's hard for people to remember because now it's okay. But at the time in the 90s, like for anything hip hop to be mainstream, cult, like that was a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, from whether, even though totally different, like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air having a TV show, like a rapper having a TV show on NBC in primetime, a big deal. You know, seeing now, like I think I said it on the show before, but maybe I haven't, like you see like a company like Xfinity is big company. And X going to give it to you, yeah. RIP DMX, is in it. And you see, like, you know, these white ladies, like, walking around, like, turning on the TV and, like, and X going to get. And I'm like, back in the 90s, that wasn't happening. You weren't having Absolutely. A big company put a song like that on, like, with their commercial. So to see the impact that hip-hop was having in the 90s, and a big part of that was Tupac. Yeah. See him cross over in the movies. And we talked about the impact of Juice or him on screen with Mickey Rourke and doing different things like that.
Yeah, Poetic Justice, Above the Rim.
Yeah,
like,
you
all
know?
Those. And the thing is, those movies were classics, but in the hood. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, so that's, like, these movies didn't win Oscars. These movies didn't win a bunch of awards. But in the hood, they did.
Well, the culture was huge.
Yeah, they did. They won those hood awards.
But, you know, it's funny, like, even Kevin Nash, the pro wrestler, he talked about when pro wrestling kind of was having the Attitude Era and booming. You know, we all know the pictures. We've seen Tupac with the red bandana tied up on his head.
Yep.
And Kevin Nash did it. And other people, Conan, different wrestlers in WCW were doing it. And they said they got that from Tupac. So that crossover appeal, like that impact that he had. And for people now, you're like, oh, yeah, that's. But back then, it wasn't seeing that.
Nah.
Like, it wasn't seeing, like, the impact that hip hop was. And maybe it was definitely through negative, too. It was through some positive with the music at first. You know, you mentioned how West Coast boomed and The Chronic's one of the most important albums ever.
Yeah.
Doggy Style one. Snoop hasn't had he.
That was the one.
That's the one. And you know, he's had songs after, but as far as albums, he hit out the park.
Yeah.
And that's 92, 93 with Snoop, 93 Enter the Wu-Tang, 36 Chambers, 94 Illmatic with Nas, Ready to Die with Biggie. That this is a come up in this time in the mid 90s. And that crossover appeal is huge. That's like really rising. So that's the positive. But then you're getting top, you know, billing on from CNN and NBC News talking about the negative too, and talking about Tupac getting shot five times, Tupac being on trial, and all these different things. And that was something that we weren't seeing. Hip hop wasn't talked about on CNN.
No,
you know, it wasn't getting that mainstream effect. And I don't think people realize that.
Yeah, you know. And he was scaring a lot of people, you know, because you talked about it, like, hip-hop started becoming mainstream, and a lot of people did not want that, you know. We wanted that, right? Because that's what I grew up in. I know that's what you grew up in, and I definitely wanted that, you know. I wanted to see it on commercials. I wanted to see it, hear it in ball games like you do now, and it's like, you know, but when I was growing up, that wasn't the case, and, you know, he's one of these individuals who kicked down that door, like, he literally kicked down that door. And, you know, hip hop today should be truly grateful for what he did, you know, in his career. And I'll give him credit. Like this younger generation now, like, they really don't shout out like the old school stuff, except for Pac. He's the one that everybody never really, like, some people might say lyrically he's not whatever, but the respect is always there. You know,
it's a little bit for Biggie.
Yeah.
I feel. And they're connected. They're linked forever.
They are.
You know, sports-wise, Chamberlain, Russell, Bird, Magic.
Yeah.
And tragically, but Tupac and Biggie will always be linked together forever. And I think that is true. Like, they still will always point to him. And I kind of feel like I can compare it to sports. You look at, like, the NBA, the boom was Bird and Magic. But then Michael took it to that global level.
Yep.
I feel like the boom in the 80s, Run DMC, Yo MTV Raps, LL Cool J, that's the foundation, you know, Def Jam.
Yeah.
But that Michael Jordan effect, that's Tupac in the 90s, just taking it to where we're at now. Like, he's that big, you know, making it global, because Tupac is global.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And that's a good analogy, you know, because I never really looked at it like that, but that's 100% right. And then just other guys, you know, during that time kind of helped him elevate it. But he was definitely in that, he was definitely in the mainstream, like in the, right in that front line, like doing all of that stuff. Because if you think about the range, because I, that's why I look at an artist, the range. Like, if you can, like a DMX can come out and scream and bark in all these songs, but then do a song like Slippin'. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, or but if you look at Pac, like his career, it is like Brenda's Got a Baby, you know, I Get Around, you know, but then you're talking about like
Changes. Which we're listening to here right now.
Yeah, Changes. But then now you're talking about like Hail Mary and Dear Mama. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, that range that he has, man, it's just like he can speak to so many different people, man. And I just think as an artist in any genre of music, but I'm going to keep it to hip hop because that's what I know the best. It's like, if you can do that, man, that your music lives forever. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I definitely, especially like this week, was all into like what he was like, all his music. Come September 7th, I'll be all into his music because yeah, that's what I do. And it's like, and again, I'm not saying in 96 I was his biggest fan, because I wasn't. I'd be lying on the show if I would say that. But the older I've gotten, the more I love his music, you know. But I knew how impactful he was in my life.
And, oh, yeah.
You know, when it comes to how I look at hip hop and stuff like that. So I always give him that credit. I had a friend of mine, my man Bam, rest in peace, man. Like, he was a huge Pac fan. Me and him used to always have these conversations, man. And I can remember when he passed away, it was like 04. I was like, so many tears was like on replay, man, because it was just like, I just kind of like view them two together. You know what I'm saying? Like, and like, I don't remember where I was when I heard about Pac. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't remember when I heard about that death. Because, again, he got shot on the 6th, but he passed to like that Tuesday it was or something like that. And that night was like the Tyson fight. So I know I was watching that
fight. I watched the Tyson fight.
I was watching that fight, and I probably went somewhere after that, you know, but I can remember when Biggie died. I remember that day for sure, 100%.
I remember both.
I know exactly where I was at.
March 9th, yeah.
Yeah, so it's just, man, like, I'm glad we did this. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm glad we're doing this, because it's like, it's just something cool to talk about, man.
Yeah, and I think Pac and Big, their styles are so different, but their styles are so unique. And you know, Biggie had that, to me, his storytelling. Yeah. It's kind of like, listen to Biggie, I feel like I'm watching like Goodfellas.
Yep.
Like, in the way it was done, the production, was it was beautiful. I loved it. And Pac, his storytelling was in a different way.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's the contrast in him. And I think his music showed the contrast in who he was as a person, which you kind of had this social justice warrior, you know, the son of a Black Panther.
Yep.
And, you know, his mom, you know, was in jail pregnant with him and all that she went through. And you heard that in this music, and you hear the you know, Brenda's Got a Baby and Dear Mama, and then you definitely hear misogynistic stuff in it.
Yeah.
And Hit Him Up and what he was talking about, and in different songs like that. Oof. And round, even in, I love Round and Round or How Do You Want It. He was that contrast, and it was constantly, I think that's where the interest in Tupac is. It's like, which one was he more of? And the truth is, he was both.
Yep.
You know, he was both. And that's one thing that we see is, I think he was a young man trying to figure things out. He was trying to figure out who he was. But you're right that he scared a lot of people because, you know, there's just one thing. He was unapologetically Black.
Yeah. And that scares
people to this day.
Yeah.
It scares people then, before then. And guess what? Truth be told, we all know it always will scare people.
Yeah.
That's just the honest truth.
Yep.
And that's one thing that he talked about. And that people saw, and for that time, he was too Black for some older Black people, honestly. You know, see, Dolores Tucker went out and spoke about it against him. You had Bob Dole. Hey, a damn presidential election, you know, 96, they're bringing up Tupac to try to get votes and bringing up different artists, you know, Tupac and Snoop and Death Row to try to say we shouldn't be selling these things, you know, our kids. And you know, it's a conversation that people heard before then. We heard it afterwards with, like, Marilyn Monroe. Or, no, Marilyn Manson. I'm sorry, Marilyn Monroe.
I'm like, what? I didn't
Marilyn Manson and Columbine. And so we kind of always have heard that, but it was that was a huge, you know, talking point that they're trying to use to get votes to kind of point at, hey, we're going to try to stop this guy, that bad music that is infiltrating our children's ears, and he's the boogeyman, he's the monster, and if our kids listen to him, they're going to turn out all kinds of crazy.
Yeah.
Like, he was used in that, and so he was a lot for a lot of people.
Yeah, and you talked about Hit 'Em Up, right? And I remember the first time I heard that, I was like, damn. Like, that, until Ether came out. I think Ether is, like, the number one, like, this song of all time. But Hit 'Em Up.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Like, that was one of the most disrespectful songs of all time. And it just... because people looked at Biggie like so iconically, and he just came and was like, I don't give a shit. Like, check this out, you know? And it was just an amazing song, man. And then again, you know, and then you look at other artists like the Outlaws, who would have had an amazing career if he didn't pass away. I think, because he was pumping them. He was on their stuff. Their first album was really good. And then once he passed, they kind of like faded away. I mean, as mainstream wise, probably in the West Coast, they probably were still big. I don't know. But you know, you just, I can just remember hearing that song, and I was just like, man, like, he literally like just killed this guy, you know? Yeah, like, yeah. Lyrically on an album. And it's just music like that, man. Like, you can never forget, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I can remember when that came out, man, a lot of dudes were playing that in my neighborhood, man. And it was one of those songs that you're never going to forget. I was listening to it the other night, and I was just like, man, classic, classic, classic. So what are your, Darami, what are your, we can go top three, top five, whatever you want to do.
Favorite songs?
Yeah. I mean, I know that's kind of hard to do, but.
I don't know if I have an order. Well.
No, not an order. It doesn't have to be an order. Just kind of like. Well, I'll give you mine. How about that?
Well, I can. It's up to you.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I can give you Round and Round.
Love Round and Round.
Probably my number one.
Is it?
Yeah, that's my favorite. Darami. That's my favorite. Yeah. That's my favorite.
That's my shit.
But
it's a great song.
I got to give you Until the End of Time.
Okay.
That's in my top five. I Ain't Mad at You. That's in my top five.
Great song.
I used to hate this song because it got overplayed, and it was. And I knew why, but it was overplayed too back then. But I've grown to love it. But California Love, that's...
Oh, I love California
just
Love.
Just that beat, that's the genius of Dre right there, that, honestly.
And that's the thing. You combine those two guys, and yeah. It's just... it makes All Eyes on Me. Like, it makes something like that. Like,
so it's... you know, Dre...
is amazing.
He's definitely the greatest producer of all time. And to me, that... it, you know, Pac kills it on that too. But don't get me wrong, that's Dr. Dre to me. But that's... still a Tupac song.
Yeah, it is.
So it's in there for me. And I got to put Changes in there for me, honestly.
I like Changes.
It just always kind of, and especially since his death, because I do remember for both when I found out. I remember when I found out when he was shot. And then I remember because of what happened in 94 thinking, well, he's still going to bounce back. And then the 13th, when he actually died, it was like, oh damn.
Damn. Yeah.
And it's like, that can't be right. I remember when Biggie on March 9th, you know, it was crazy, 6 months apart, but what happened there? But Changes to me after he died, I think that's the song that, like, just, I don't know, something about it when you talk about Pac, like, you play Changes, like, I don't know, it's just, it's that sadness, but it's optimism still in it, and even though, like, he's gone, like, it's just a weird feeling I get when I hear that song, so it means a lot more to me post his death, so I put Changes in there for me as well.
No, these are all good, you know, these are all great songs. You know, I'm more of like, I'm with the thugs. You know what I'm saying? Like, and not, that doesn't mean shit, but I'm more like the Hit 'Em Up. I loved Hit 'Em Up. You know, All Eyes on Me. You know, I can't deny it.
Yeah, I'm straight, right? Never liked that one. I was never one of mine.
Me?
Never one of mine.
That's like one of the best like intro songs like of all time. Like just him, how, not intro songs, but like him, how he started the song. Like he talked about the voice. Like I think that's the one song I think about when I think about his voice. It's just like you hear it clearly, no beat. You know what I'm saying? Like just a.
Yeah, dun, I think Hail dun, Mary.
Dun, dun. Oh man,
Hail Mary, that voice to me is more.
Yeah, no, that song too. That's another one too. But I talked about So Many Tears just on a personal level. You know what I'm saying? Like that was, I had that song on repeat, man, that one night, man. And I would never forget that night either, man. But, you know,
That beat is like the song, but that beat is maybe my favorite. That's up there with California Love and like Round and Round for like Tupac, like best beats for Tupac. Like I love, like honestly, I one of the few I probably like the instrumental better than like the song.
Yeah, that's a great beat. Keep your head up. I love Keep Your Head Up because again, like I just felt like it just spoke to me, man. Like it just kind of where I was at. Like it just kind of just at the time of my life, man. And that's the thing with his music. I just like I listen to a song and it just takes me back where I was at that point in time in my life. You know what I'm saying? And some of these songs, it was like, I'm not gonna say it wasn't a good spot, but it was just like a rough spot, mm-hmm. to say, you know. And it is what it is, right? It ain't like that today, but it didn't, again, like that's just the way it was. And so I Get Around, I love that I Get Around too. That was one of my favorites. Ambitions of a Rider, as a Rider was a great song.
That's a great song.
Yeah, and Hail Mary too. I love Hail Mary. You just talked about it, and it just, you know, it just came on. So it's so many songs, so much music that you can go into. I'm sure people are listening to this show like, oh, what about this? What about that? Let us know. You know, let us know what your favorite songs are. You know what I mean? Like, you can hit us up on Twitter. You can hit us up on, you know, Instagram. Let us know what your top five songs are, whatever you want to do. But yeah, let us know your thoughts, your memories, whatever the case may be on the great Tupac Shakur. But yeah, like his music for me, man, is going to live forever. You know, I'm the guy that drives with my son in the car. Like, I'm going to put you on some good music. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I just got to do it. And he's one of the first guys I go.
Nah, for. his he will definitely, you know, like I said, it's crazy. He's been dead for as long as he was alive. And it's kind of hard to believe because I still remember where I was when I found out watching the Tyson fight and the next morning hearing about it. But it's just, I kind of want the whole story because.
Yeah.
As impactful. And sometimes, yeah, I remember when, you know, Ben Wilson for Benji, when his mom says, not always how long you live, it's how you live. And Tupac got, I think, every ounce of those 25 years.
Yeah.
Like he didn't waste a day. I feel like he had 9 lives in them 25 years. But I just want it to be for a lot of people, like, it didn't have to go this way for him.
Nah.
And then later for Biggie too. And a lot of other people that who aren't famous got affected by that rivalry, by that stupid beef, by stupid ego. And to me, that's the thing. It's like, you may see the impact that Tupac had. You see Thug Life, you see everything. And don't get me wrong, you get great music. You can get some great message from the songs. You can get some negative messages too, that, hey, don't act that way.
Yeah.
But the thing is remembering all this stuff that Tupac afterwards, he's not around to see this.
Yep.
And he's missed a lot of things that, you know what, he would have had, not just even financially, we just could have used his voice socially, we could have used his voice in a lot of ways. So I kind of just wish, instead of always focusing on, well, who did it, let's look at that it didn't have to happen in the first place.
Streets are watching, you know, like, you want to live by the gun and all that stuff, that's exactly what's going to happen. You're going to get that, you know. You want to be on the streets, you want to be a thug, you want to be a gangster, like, you're going to have to live that life, man.
That night, him and Suge jumping that guy after the fight.
Yeah.
And
Orlando Brown or something like that.
Yeah, or Lando Anderson, something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
But he was, you know, Suge with the Bloods, that dude's with the Crips. They need to do that. They jumped him, and to me, that triggered what happened.
Yeah, it's a big part of it, for sure.
Big part of it. And over what? Over what?
It was like a chain or something like that.
Something, exactly. Dumb shit.
Yeah.
And we lost one of the most important voices over that.
Yep.
Two of them, honestly.
Yeah.
They're connected. And over that ego. So I just want people to remember that.
And more and more. Like, if you really get into this, man, like, there was a lot of lives lost.
Oh,
man.
For sure.
Like that Lando Anderson died. He was shot. You know, it was so much that happened from this, man, which is really sad. But
yeah, there's a lot of people that we don't know, like, on a famous level.
Yeah. On a day-to-day level.
Mm-hmm. Who lost their life over nothing. And we see, look at this industry, look at hip-hop. There's enough, you know, of that pie for everyone to eat.
Oh, yeah.
And then some. And that's due to them and what they did, but they didn't have to take each other out that way. So I just want people to remember that. That doesn't get talked about enough, in my opinion.
Back in elementary, thrived on misery. Come on, Jeremy. No, this is, I'm glad we did this, man. This was a lot of fun for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, special thanks to, we can say DJ Jose and DJ Vince, because Jose kind of went down that rabbit hole for the music.
Oh, yeah.
And I had it, but I was like, I'll just let Jose do this one. I'm like, I'll let him, because I had some thoughts for the music, but I was like, I'll let him. So, special thanks to Jose and the producer extraordinaire, Mr. Vince Quinn, for this one.
Vince, you're the man.
So, everyone, thank you guys for listening. And, you know, rest in peace, Tupac, 25 years. Let's keep that memory going. Peace.
Peace.